Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. This young man right here is Bidelon.
Yeah,
Calais Bidelon.
You'll get him one of these days.
By the way, the voice of Brent Musburger, who does the voiceovers here for all of our segments here at VSiN, he is the guest on the Megapod tomorrow.
Ooh.
Beating the Book Megapod. Brent has agreed for a fourth consecutive year to subject himself to the Todd Wishnev experience. So we're very excited about
that.
That's
a must listen.
I say to Todd, I'm like, okay, Todd, let's tamp it down this week. He goes, I'm not going to do that, Gil. I'm like, okay, but glad we had this conversation. Glad that went well. Still to come this hour, Wes Reynolds joins us in a very solid booking by Kelly Bidlin, getting Wes on the show. Jason Weingarten and JVT standing by. Real quick, I want to read some tweets. This is from Brosec1870. He answered the question. He said, Vince Gill was asked to join the Eagles after Glenn Frey died in 2017. So that answers my question. And I guess what was Vince Gill sitting around? He's like, sure, I'll join you.
Yeah, but like, was he not involved like in every... Like, he was highlighted, it seemed like, in three or four songs.
I'm just telling you, all their songs sound the same. You can't hide your crying eyes, or the lion eyes.
Hard for me to argue that.
Yeah, all those songs sound the same. Except for I Can't Tell You Why, that's the jam. Jamie Leva, Gil and Jim Root, as always, a great segment on the show. You might even say it was magnificent. Thank you very much. Jason Stark says, oh, I know you made that pick, Kelly. I listen every day. You both heard from me last year when the Steelers hit my alt over 9.5 last season, too. Steelers-Ravens will likely end up a split. Browns sweep. Cincy split. That's 11. Eagles possible win, too. 12. Oh, okay. You got the 12. All right, we'll see. And then Touchdown Jesus. Great marketing by Morgan & Morgan, by the way, to include on their injury list a muscle pull fielding footballs, drowning in eggnog, or the incomparable tennis Achilles rupture. Yeah, the memo didn't get to Morgan & Morgan quite yet. But thanks for remembering all of our mishaps.
Hey, neither one of us have gotten hurt since they've been sponsoring, okay?
That's right. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our senior NBA analyst. He's also the co-host of VSiN Primetime. It is the great Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, John?
A strong proponent of eggnog. Very excited about this time of year, but... it does upset my tummy just a little bit, so I cannot have a lot. So I always get 1/4 gallon of eggnog every year, and I make it last.
Kelly can't even have a sip of it anymore. He's done.
I love this so much, JVT, and Matt Brown and Gil Alexander ruined it for me.
You're welcome.
Well, I mean, for those who might remember in our first year, I really have not had a hot dog since our infamous first hot dog eating challenge at the Vegas Stats and Information Network back at the South Point.
Yes.
So I feel it.
Right? You still haven't had a single one? Is this lifetime thing for us now? We're ruined?
I never was a hot dog guy to begin with, and then that traumatic experience. And I always say, like, that I actually got to ask professional eaters about this, which was, it wasn't the fullness that gets me. It's the repetitive taste that got me in that challenge. Like, I couldn't put any more down because the taste became so disgusting to me by the time I reached the fifth one. And that is what gets me, not so much the being full and then purging 5 minutes later. It was the fact that I could not stand the taste. So, yeah. No.
True story. I was there with Deborah Song, fashion stylist, observing John do this. And I said to her at one point, I go, he's done. She goes, how do you know? I go, look at his eyes. Jay, you could see it in your face. He was done. Yep. He hit a wall. He was like, I can't do it anymore.
Oh, man.
Let me ask you about the first night of the NBA of the, so let me say it correctly, the Emirates NBA Cup 2024. Mm-hmm. Rank these in terms of like thing or not a thing. Embiid, 13 points and then limping off. Spoelstra with the timeout. And then to the good, Steph Curry with the 12-point flourish at the end to win it and get the cover for the Warriors. And also to the good, the Atlanta Hawks with a great comeback yesterday, overcoming a 15-point second-half deficit against the Celtics. What made the most impact on you? What moved the needle?
So I think in order we would go Curry, Hawks, Embiid, and Spoelstra. Spoelstra deserves just a quick moment because generally it's Eric Spoelstra. I don't think you really use that. I think he's just in a fit of rage, called a timeout, didn't understand it. But Curry, guys, I thought, you know, this is the more incredible things we've seen. And who knows if this sticks, but I was texting with our mutual friend Will Hill over the weekend. Kelly, I know that you were in on this as well, too. But like, Curry was 150-1 on Sunday before they played the Thunder to win MVP. He's down to 35-1 this morning after these last two performances. He's been great. And you guys know how much I like this Warriors team. Like, they are deep. They are good defensively. It's funny, on the broadcast yesterday, one of the things that they talked about was like, this is unsustainable how deep they are. Like, I think they'll take it, right?
John, because this is exactly what I wanted to ask you about. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay. That
was my Warriors follow-up, because you're exactly right. Charles Barkley intimated that this isn't sustainable. Not intimated, I think he actually used the words. Then Shaq went into his whole 10-game bucket thing where he's like, yep, all right, so, you know, Phil Jackson used to tell us, you go 9-1 for the first 10. Actually, they went 8-2, but he was like, the Warriors went 9-1. So he said he can see them going 6-4. Do you have that same viewpoint of them, or do you feel like they're being a little harsh on this team?
No, like, I think they can be great. So I didn't really understand what the whole point of everything was in terms of unsustainability. And talking about unsustainability in the sense of like, they're too deep. Like, Reggie, I think it was Reggie Jackson was on the call yesterday. Like, he brought that up. Like, you know, at some point you're gonna have to figure this rotation out. Yeah, Reggie, we got like 70 games left. Like, I think we're going to be fine to figure out exactly what our rotation is going to look like. But think about what some of the shortcomings of the Warriors teams in the last few years have been. It's been their depth, right? It's been Curry goes down and all of a sudden you don't have anybody that you can trust. Well, guys, they had a winning record in the games that Curry went down with, right? It was part of their really strong push here. You know, you have really good defensive players in multiple positions, whether it's Wiggins, whether it's Melton, Draymond Green. Like, you've got so many different guys that can fit their roles perfectly. Like, yeah, when you get to the postseason, figure out who your top eight are going to be. But I think this is perfectly sustainable. And I do think that road trip was a microcosm of what this team could be. For those who don't remember, it was the 3-game trip. They go to Boston, play a really great, tight defensive game. They end up winning that in a really bad spot because it's situationally right in the middle of a road trip after an emotional game. You go to Cleveland, you get doors blown off. Everybody's getting beaten by Cleveland. And then you bounce back and you beat Oklahoma City. Like, I think this team has a lot that works for them. And I think they match up well with a lot of these teams. I think you saw it yesterday. They have the wing bodies to throw at Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving and feel comfortable defensively. They have just enough size to match up with teams like that have rotation centers like Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford. So maybe this is just me, Gil, because as you know, like, I really like this team, and maybe I'm just seeing all the positives. I think this team, especially given the makeup of the top of the West, could be like a top 3 seed, top 2 seed in the Western Conference in this regular season.
I think so. And Draymond Green, remember, you brought him up, but Draymond Green remains one of the weirdest, most unique unicorns of all. I know I'm being redundant in sports, where it's like, he's so key to this franchise and all those championships, but if you put him on any other team, I don't know if he's anything, you know? It's incredible.
Oh, dude, of course. Last night, dude, the block on Gafford and the stare down as they go right back down. And like, but you're right. Like, he made two great plays. He had a really strong rebound, I think it was right after that, to help end a possession for Golden State defensively. Like, he's been great. And we talk about like Victor Wembanyama to win Defensive Player of the Year. This is top 5 defense in the NBA right now, in large part because of Draymond Green. So I would not sleep on him to win that award either.
What did you end up? So tonight is a regular, quote unquote, a regular, yes, NBA night. You
a boring night.
You do have 5 teams back to boring courts. You do have 5 games which feature a team that is on a back-to-back against a team that is not on a back-to-back. Are you playing any of those? Or are you playing any of the others?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of the ones involving, and this is just a, hey, look, like, this team I think is just worth fading in these situations. Philadelphia 76ers are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cavs, as we know, have been pretty much rolling to this point, but Philadelphia coming off of that game against New York, we know the situation with Joel Embiid and Paul George. The expectation that this is going to be a shorthanded team with some minutes restrictions in place if guys do play. I laid 8.5 here with Cleveland. I think they're going to be able to take care of business against the 76ers, and that's kind of been the strategy for me. And really, that's about it. I think there was a couple of games that stuck out. You know, for example, I know the market kind of likes to play in these home and home, or like these baseball series, we should say, like Minnesota and Portland, maybe having Minnesota stick around inside of this in this game and eventually win and cover would be something. But I think maybe you're going first half in that regard than anything else, because I haven't really loved what I've seen from the Timberwolves. That was kind of, for me, numbers would say play it, but I'm not really going to do it because I haven't liked what I've seen from Minnesota. And that's about it. I also had Indiana on my list of plays to potentially make, but don't really like the injuries to their depth overall. And Orlando really surprised me yesterday. I thought that was going to be a much tighter game, and they blew out Charlotte. So for right now, the only thing that I've got, late Cleveland -8.5 on the road against Philly.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. I was going to get off the NBA, but the Cavaliers are 12-0. They're among a handful of teams that have done this. That's it in the history of the NBA. To beat the Warriors record, by the way, for the greatest record of all time, 73-9, the Cavs merely need to go 62-8 the rest of the way, which is still just unbelievable to think about. But 12-0 is 12-0 in a year where the Winnipeg Jets are also 15-1. That's never been done in hockey. Is this just a small sample size thing? I mean, I get it, they're good, but and no one's expecting them to be spectacularly good, but like, where do you rank them in the Eastern Conference?
Oh, they're solidly two. I don't think there's really any question about that. And we could say, I mean, look, like you just said, right? No Trae Young, and the Boston Celtics just lost to Atlanta. We saw them go to overtime with Brooklyn. We saw them lose in overtime to Indiana. So I think Boston's fine. But again, it's not a perfect team by any stretch. But I think Cleveland, everything we've seen from them, I think is legitimate. There's a tangible change, obviously, right, from last year. Kenny Atkinson is now their head coach. They are changing the way that they're playing basketball. And I think those changes have translated to a team that, if you remember, they went to Paris last year, Gil. They were like 40-20 at one point. They were ripping off wins left and right, and injuries completely obliterated their season. No, I think we kind of saw this coming last year, and Kenny Atkinson is kind of putting the foot on the gas and accelerating what we saw last season. No, I think they are legitimately the second best team in the Eastern Conference and could push Boston in a best of seven series.
Yeah, Kenny Atkinson, there was a reason why he was so coveted as a head coach, and he ends up with Cleveland. Real quick before we go, your favorite Week 11 NFL play is?
Oh, we're going to get ugly here. I've bet two games so far. I have taken the points with both the Las Vegas Raiders and the Dallas Cowboys. But I will say this about the Cowboys. I do think that this offensive line really quickly for Houston is an issue. CJ Stroud, the second most pressured quarterback in the National Football League. It has failed. There's been a reason why they've failed to cover a lot of these games, including the game that got Anthony Richardson benched. I think that's going to be a pretty big problem. I'm going to give this one more shot for the Cowboys. Stay inside 7.5 at home against Houston.
Yeah, that was one of the three that I liked on guessing lines. I don't know if I have the same bravery as you do, same courage, but that was one of the three. Thank you, John. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Jonathan Von Tobel at MeJBT, our senior NBA analyst. I hope you have Euro Cup. I hope you have NBA Cup fever like we do. I like the courts. I like the whole concept. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten, all his bets right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Look at that app. The VSiN Watch app makes it easy to watch or listen to VSiN anywhere, anytime on your phone or tablet. And for a limited time only, you can watch it for free. Visit the Apple app or Google Play Store now to download the VSiN Watch app and get 24/7 access to our live audio and video stream. Watch replays of your favorite VSiN shows. Easily stream video to your smart TV, browse clips by sport, or use the search feature to find the specific VSiN expert insights you're interested in. The VSiN Watch app, free to download for both Apple and Android users, so do not delay. Visit the Apple or Google App Store now to download the all-new VSiN Watch app now and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This is Jason Weingarten, ladies and gentlemen, from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California at Spreadopedia, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jason hanging with us this morning. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. It's, kind of nice. We're past the World Series, past the election. The schedule's kind of chilling out a little bit. It's a good time.
So what is a daily Jason Weingarten betting day look like?
Well, it's nice right now because, football, I mean, we do have like football games almost every day right now, but it's only a couple and, they're standalone. I don't do like the Maction games or whatever. So day to day, it's quieter. Betting wise, I do get to bet some basketball. I bet it more recreationally, so the stakes are lower. But I do enjoy it. I that's, sometimes what I do during the evenings. I was watching the Duke game last night. I will pay a little attention to the NBA, but otherwise, unless it's, football Saturday or Sunday right now, it's kind of a nice time because it's relatively quiet.
We have a great listener question for you. This is from Last Name Nash, who says, I'm curious what Jason thinks is more ridiculous, how long it takes certain states to tally up election votes or how long it takes the Major League Baseball people to count up the writers' votes for season awards. What's more ridiculous?
Man, it's close because, you could probably make a good argument for each, but MLB's had these results since the day after the season ended.
So bad.
Dragging this out. I mean, it's not, it's, it's the whole process that I think offends me, is that they had to do a 2-hour show just to announce the finalists. Like, we know the finalists. We don't need a 2-hour TV show. Like, not that I was watching it. I don't ever really tune in to MLB Network, but they're doing this whole week build up to next week. Why? I just, you know, let me cash these tickets now.
I would love to know what their ratings are on a daily basis, because they do a good job. It's just that you're right. They just sort of prolong.
You're doing
everything.
A show off of a press release. Yes. Like, it's just a press release. That's all you need.
Much like I've said, I've not in the years we've been doing this met a new baseball fan. I have not met a new MLB Network watcher.
This is such a great point. This is such a great point. Not one person. That's so right. What about these awards? Obviously, I went through the finalists yesterday. There are no surprises. The only sort of quote unquote surprise in the finalists, I called it performative yesterday, was that they threw Emmanuel Clase, who had this great year as the Cleveland Guardians closer. But I feel like they almost put him in just to like sort of be like, hey, just to let you know, relievers can possibly win this kind of thing. He had a great year. Don't get me wrong. I was the beneficiary of much of that early in the season. But really, by and large, there's no huge shock in the finalists. Do you think there is any surprise on the horizon with any of these for the ultimate winner?
Can't really see anything. I mean, AL Rookie of the Year, I guess you can make an argument for any of the three. I would probably go with Colton Cowser myself, but I won't be surprised if Luis Gil wins it. I will be a little surprised if Austin Wells wins it, I think. But other than that, no, I think we all know probably who's going to be the winners.
Well, let me ask you, because Skeens does end up as one of the finalists for NL Cy. Does that in any way tell you that he is probably going to win NL Rookie of the Year over Jackson Merrill?
Yes and no. I mean, did you see the Silver Slugger stuff yesterday?
I did not.
So Jackson Merrill won the Silver Slugger. I mean, that's got to count for something. The last couple rookies to win the Silver Slugger, Gunnar Henderson, Julio Rodriguez, Aaron Judge. I'm in football mode. Corey Seager, Jose Abreu, Mike Trout. So, you know, he's kind of in good company there as a rookie winning a Silver Slugger. You know, we're comparing two guys who did great things. So I really do think both guys are going to get first place votes. It won't surprise me if Skeens wins. It won't surprise me if Jackson Merrill wins. I'm a little bummed. I know Merrill was at the Rams game on Monday. I didn't get a chance to ask him, you know, hey, what are you going to be doing on November 18th? got any plans?
Yeah. I just wonder if they'll have him, you know, Skeens talking now. I just wonder if they would have him as a finalist for two awards and shut him out of both. I guess we'll.
Well, it's just voting. It's not, you know, all they're doing is reporting the finalists. It's the on the writers to vote.
And, no, that's true.
You know, he was deserving of Cy Young votes. He was deserving of Rookie of the Year votes. Either it's going to be Merrill first, Skeens second, or Skeens first, Merrill second, and Skeens is going to be third for Cy, most likely.
Right. I'm not talking about MLB Network shutting him out. I'm talking about voters shutting him out, right? Which is, so it's the same concept. It's like, would they have it in their heart to do it in both? Maybe, maybe not. We'll find out when.
Why should Merrill, again, what did Merrill do to be shut out? He started every day almost.
I'm not making the case, Jason.
Was it the second best team in baseball?
We don't have to adjudicate it again. They're both very deserving. I understand.
I'm just saying, when you say the writers are going to, you know, not give it to Skeens, why aren't they going to give it to Merrill? I mean, they both got good cases. I won't be surprised if it goes either way.
Well, I wouldn't either, but they're human beings. That's my point. Is I just wonder if the common voter will be like, he's a finalist for this, he's a finalist for that, we're not going to give him either of that. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. There's plenty of writers voting on this. We'll only find out when they announce at the beginning of that 2-hour show. Leslie Skeens will be here later to give out the award for Rookie of the Year.
But hang around for an hour and a half.
What's that?
But hang around for an hour and a half.
Yeah, but hang around. I don't know if her name's Leslie or not. I'm just
I check Bob Nightingale's Twitter feed about once a day to see if he's released the presenters yet. Because we'll know ahead of time if it's a Pirates pitcher or something, or if it's Paul Skeens' parents, then you don't have to get excited. If it's Dave Winfield or something, then we'll kind of have an idea who's going to be getting the award on Monday.
That was the worst one. We had Juan Soto 100-1 for NL MVP, and Bryce Harper's mom showed up. We're like, oh, great.
Yeah, it was like, come on. Right. It was
sort of, yeah, sure, she's going to give it to Soto. That would be not awkward. Sure. Okay, NFL, did you make any bets this weekend, or did you add any awards bets?
Well, so my Jared Goff lived and died a quick death. Yeah. You know, five interceptions. Although I contend he should really only be credited for four, because the one before the half doesn't really count for anything. It was true. Just a true Hail Mary. But that's the end of that. It's kind of a bummer because we spend all this time talking and arguing about the NFL, the MLB awards, and then we get to NFL, and these markets are kind of really boring. Like, what award is the most up in the air right now? I guess Coach of the Year, maybe.
Coach of the Year, that, and I would say Defensive Player of the Year, maybe. As well, like, I'm not. Maybe. Go ahead.
I say maybe, but you're just kind of fighting T.J. Watt. So it's,
yeah, you are fighting T.J. Watt. Coach of the Year is interesting. Who would you believe right now if that was voted on right now? Who's the NFL Coach of the Year?
If I had a vote, I'd probably be voting for Harbaugh. He convinced me that he's, you know, he's really got that team ahead of where I thought they would be right now. And he's done a great job. Obviously, you know, you can make an argument for Mike Tomlin. I think he'd get some votes. Quinn probably get some votes with what he's doing with the Commanders. Dan Campbell and Andy Reid, I see they're up near the top. Not really buying them that much personally, but you know, I can see it going a number of ways. I personally would vote for Harbaugh.
Yeah, Will Hill's call on Jonathan Gannon is an interesting one too in Arizona. I think he's probably in the mix. Yeah. He's probably in the mix as well. So, yeah, it's wide open. That would be the one. Because all the others, I think Jaden Daniels is the AL Rookie of the Year, the Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think Jared Verse is the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think Lamar right now is the MVP, with apologies to everybody else. Offensive Player of the Year, that's the nebulous one, right? And Comeback Player of the Year, those as well. Comeback Player of the Year is up in the air, and I think Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry, it looked like he was running away with it, and then maybe he won't, but I still wouldn't be surprised if he puts up just a insurmountable touchdown number and ends up winning the award. You were asking me about bets for this weekend.
Yes, sir.
I bet against the Jets again. So I took the Colts. I took them 3.5 plus, or 3.5 minus 105.
They are the most overrated team in the market week after week.
And there's fours out there now.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
What do you think the light at the end of the tunnel of this is? That Aaron Rodgers gets better and they make the playoffs in some dramatic fashion?
Like, no.
This is going nowhere fast. A lot of players don't get happy endings in their careers. And Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who just stuck around too long and it's not working out. And I'm pretty sure, you know, he's starting to get more and more isolated in that locker room as the losses pile up, and everyone's just waiting for that season to end. So I'd really be surprised if I have a single bet on the Jets one more time this season. It's likely going to be fading them every week from here on out.
Yeah, also, he's going to be 41. Like, Tom Brady ruined our perception of what is possible, you know? So it's you know, it shouldn't be expected that he's going to be awesome anymore. And by the way, his last year in Green Bay, he wasn't awesome either. Jason, appreciate it as always, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Jason Weingarten, everybody. Wes Reynolds, college football and more next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSiN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days. Up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Skill Alexander. We at Tweets at Beating the Book always appreciate the feedback. Brian Morianen also chimes in with, and for NL Rookie of the Year, we have LSU gymnast Olivia Dunn presenting. Everybody's
made
that joke.
Who could it possibly be?
Oh, that would increase ratings. Vegas regular. Weingarten needs to incorporate more vitamins into his regimen to mellow out. He puts vitamins in quotes. He is so feisty every appearance now. Jason is getting feistier every appearance. That's true.
I enjoyed you trying to calm down the, like, all right, we went through 3 months
of this. Are we really going to do this Skeens Merrill thing again? Stop it. I'm not making an argument about it.
There's no bet to be made, anything like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. He can speak on any number of subjects, including the Eagles at the Sphere, which he has not seen yet, but I'm sure he has an opinion on. It is the great Wes Reynolds, everybody, at Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, great to see you, man.
Fellas, good to be back with you on the program.
I said the Eagles, but Brian Ortega, our producer extraordinaire, and remember, when Brian Ortega produces shows, his North Star is what would entertain Brian Ortega. He was very upset with my Eagles slander earlier. Do you agree with me that multiple songs of theirs, like 5+, sound exactly alike?
I am middle of the road on the Eagles, Gil, because there are some songs and some tracks I like by them. I thought the band was better in its later run when they went to more rock-oriented, when they went with Joe Walsh and Don Felder. Of course, Don Felder, not in the band anymore because they went to court over various things, Don Felder and Henley and the guys. But yeah, look, it's a similar sound. It was a little more of a country rock sound in the early era where it was Henley and Fry and Bernie Ledden and Randy Meisner, and then they got to more of a rock sound later. But they have some timeless classics, but I'm not going to put them as one of like the all-time great bands. I don't think that they're quite there.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. That's right. Wes Reynolds is like the Marshall McLuhan. It's the only Annie Hall thing. Annie Hall, movie from 1975. Woody Allen, observing an argument in a movie line. And he says, if only I had somebody who could help us out with this. And he pulls Marshall McLuhan, this media critic, from behind the curtain. And he gets Marshall McLuhan to tell these people they have no idea what they're talking about. And then Marshall McLuhan walks off.
All I know is I walked back from the restroom and there was an argument going on that I could not have possibly cared less about.
Ortega, instigator, complete instigator. By the way, you're right on Joe Walsh. That whole My Maserati. That's a great song. Okay, let's talk college football because you have multiple picks here, multiple picks. First of all, before we do that, I do have one question that I teased earlier. You are a Hoosier by birth. You are an Indiana fan, both basketball and football. My question is twofold. One, how excited are you about the undefeated Hoosiers, obviously with the big games coming? And two, are you prepared, Wes? Are you braced for the fact that it sort of feels like they might be the team that gets the shaft at the end?
I am not ready for that. I guess I better get braced for that because I feel like if they're competitive in a loss at Ohio State, by the way, it is a bye week, and then they go to Columbus where they have not won since 1988. So I feel like if they are competitive, if it's a 10, if it plays around the number, which is like 9.5 on the look ahead, if they lose by 10 or 14, I don't think it's all of a sudden, okay, Indiana's a joke. Now, if they get beat by 35, then it's like, okay, you have the opportunity that they are going to get the shaft here a little bit. But I think one loss team in the Big Ten, I know the schedule has not been overly daunting necessarily, but it hasn't been for a lot of these other teams either. Like you look at Penn State. Penn State has one loss and they're already rated ahead of Indiana. Penn State really hasn't beaten anybody, Gil, if you really want to get knee deep in the weeds with the schedule here. But look, I'm very excited for Indiana to have this done. What Kurt Cignetti has done is amazing with this program. Just to see, I must have watched that intro video from the CBS telecast probably about 100 times since it aired when, they're playing the drums, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And it's like, man, it feels like we reached the big time. This is how Alabama feels, and this is how Georgia feels, and Alabama, Indiana at Memorial Stadium. What world are we living in? At least I like this portion of the world where that could happen.
Wes is referring to as the seedings were put out yesterday for the second college football playoff bracket. That would be the matchup, Alabama at Indiana. Obviously, there's plenty of weeks for that to change. Let's start with the team that was on the outside looking in based on the second iteration of the college football playoff projected bracket that show yesterday. And that's Georgia. Georgia on the outside looking in currently at this moment taking on Tennessee. What's your play here?
Yeah, you don't think Kirby Smart's going to use that as motivation, do you, at all, that they got left out. And they've been the best program in America, really, over the last couple of years. Now, it did move a little bit on the basis of that Nico, the Tennessee quarterback, was in concussion protocol. So we'll see if he's going to play. Even if he does play, I think the market has it right at Georgia now up to 10. I still think 10 is worth laying. I think it opened 9, but I think that they get after Tennessee. Tennessee's offense, really, even with Nico, who is their 5-star quarterback, has really kind of hit the skids a little bit, I think, Gil. I know they got 33 at Mississippi State, but ignore those numbers where they were scoring like 70-plus on Kent State. They really have been held at bay in the SEC and just have not been that potent of an offense. And I think Georgia, it's a kind of a buy low as almost a double-digit favorite, as ridiculous as this sounds. It really is, because Carson Beck, of course, has been very disappointing, been turning the ball over too much there for the Bulldogs. But I think this is the one where they really get after somebody and say, okay, we're still here.
So this is anecdotal. I'm just what I've heard in within my sphere of what I've taken in this week. But it feels like everybody believes the Jake Retzlaff BYU magic carpet ride comes to an end this week. Are you among those?
I am among those, and I was on the Utes last week. 4th and 10, by the way, BYU pinned on their own goal line, and they call that holding penalty on the corner of Utah, and then BYU drives down. BYU, look, I want to give them credit, because 9-0 is 9-0, and you don't apologize for victories, but they have been very fortunate with a lot of the turnover luck, and it's like, how many breaks is this team going to get? And the fact that you have a 3-6 Kansas team, and they're only getting 3 points. I had Kansas last week, by the way, against Iowa State. This is a team that has had such rotten luck this year. They are not as bad as their record. I think they're 0-5 in one score games. And meanwhile, BYU, it's been almost the exact opposite with these guys. So, yeah, I do like KU. I know that that's a small number, but I'll take the field goal in Provo on Saturday.
By the way, as we lead into a Big Ten, or a team that involves a couple Big Ten teams, we got a question from the numbers guys who says, question for Wes, how do you order the top three in the Big Ten? He says, because my Michigan State Spartans have played all three, and I contend the Hoosiers are the best.
Well, whoever said that, God bless them. The check is in the mail. But look, I would put Oregon 1, and I would probably put Ohio State 2, Indiana 3, Penn State 4. I think, you know, it is the old Ric Flair saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And the Hoosiers got to beat the Buckeyes. And I think they alleviate and eradicate all doubt if they go ahead and do that in a couple weeks. And I think it is doable. It's going to be probably a single digit spread. I think it's 9.5 on the look ahead right now, depending on how Ohio State looks in Wrigley on Saturday against Northwestern.
Speaking of the Buckeyes, how do you see the game against Northwestern this week?
Yeah, look, small total here, around 44, 44 and a half. Northwestern, you know, gritty bunch, doesn't really have a lot of depth in terms of talent. Still 4-5, so, you know, probably too much to ask for them to win this outright to get, you know, close to bowl eligibility. But I thought over 4 touchdowns was a little bit high, because it's really the shoe on the other foot now, Gil. It used to be, okay, Indiana is going to be looking ahead to Ohio State. Well, now it's Ohio State actually looking ahead to Indiana. Usually Indiana is homecoming in Columbus. And this time it's not. This time it's 2 top 5 teams with a lot of big stakes. Unfortunately, that game is going to be in the morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, and not in prime time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Northwestern here to hang in. I think that, you know, you're going to get gritty effort out of this guy at Wrigley Field. Could be some weather issues with such a low total. So give me the Purple Cats.
Kansas State ended up 16th, I believe it was, in the rankings yesterday. They're taking on ASU. You have a play on this one.
I do. I laid it with Kansas State. I actually think Kansas State, even though they're probably not going to get in that Big 12 title game, they're the best team, in my opinion, in the conference, even though Colorado is playing some really solid football right now. K-State did go into Boulder and beat those guys. ASU, very good story, 7-2 back in the bowl game. Kenny Dillingham, his second year with this program. They had a very rough year last year, but ASU has been very good at home, and they've been winning a lot of close games, certainly did one again on Saturday against UCF. But K-State, I think just that running game is going to wear down Arizona State, and you've already seen it move a little bit. I like these other Purple Cats, the one in Manhattan, Kansas.
Wes, next time you're on, we got to talk about other things, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say congratulations on hitting your 5-bajillionth golf future last week. Congratulations.
Austin Eckroat was Austin Eck Goat last week, so we appreciated that. We finally got on the board for the fall.
Wes, part of the trio of folks who do a little golf podcast we like to call Long Shots. It's called Long Shots. Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, fellas.
Wes Reynolds 1, the number 1. That's where you can find him on Twitter. We always love having Wes on. We'll come back. I believe young Kelly has some golf thoughts as well. That and more. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up, top of the hour, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Who is Stormy welcoming on the show today?
Patrick Maher.
Patrick Maher and Stormy doing their thing from noon to 2 Eastern, followed by John Hansen on Prop Points from 2 to 3, then Make It Rain with Adam Schein. That's from 3 to 4. That's what's coming up on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. This is from... Dave Ross has chimed in.
Dave Ross?
Dave Ross. Dave Ross has had it with people defending Caleb Williams. This, again, was because I posted the original Merrill Hodge thing, and then some people are like, oh, but, you know, you got to – his offensive line is his coaches, which I think is all true, but part of it is Caleb, right? It's not any one thing. It's not like – he's not completely absolved. And Dave Ross says, food for thought. What's funny is this time last year, everyone was ready to label Bryce Young a bust. For some reason, people just don't want to be that harsh with Caleb. It's wild which guys we judge critically and which guys we treat with kid gloves. That from Dave Ross.
Wow. Hosts, I won't go that far.
Host of the Lombardi Line weekdays here from that's from 8 to 10 Eastern. 8 to 10 Eastern? No. 8 to 10 Eastern, yeah. 5 to 7 Pacific. There you go.
Correct. Dave doing great work. Some tech difficulties this morning.
We love Dave Ross.
Worked his way around that masterfully. And
we love Dave Ross, but I would just slow down about the Caleb to Bryce Young comparison.
And I mean, tip of the cap for Dave Ross. Apparently had some car troubles this morning and just called his boss to bring him to work. That's a power move.
What I understood is that Dave Ross was on the side of a highway. His car broke down and that he could be seen hitchhiking. And then the producer of ours, Stephanie, who's so much more than a producer, by the way, she does our schedules. She had to pick him up on the side of the road. And so Will Hill came in for relief.
Oh, Will. Will always saving the
day. They went to the lefty. Will Hill did a couple segments with Lombardi. This is from, let's see here. Oh, should I give it away via tweet or did you want to announce it? Because we have some NFL news.
Sure. Yeah. Well, real quick, Trevor Lawrence out. He's been ruled out in case you're wondering about that this weekend. Mac Jones will get the start for the Jags. And the bigger one that just came down. I didn't know whether to interrupt Wes with it or not.
Can I read this?
Yeah.
Okay. The Indianapolis Colts are going back to Anthony Richardson as their starting quarterback for the remainder of the 2024 season.
Why? Why, Gil? Why do they have to word it that way?
The team announced today, according to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, Richardson began the season as QB1, but lost the role to Joe Flacco, who started the last two games for Indy. More to come. I always like the more to come.
More to come. I don't get all these. What are with these NFL teams this year being like, we're making a change, and it will be the change for the rest of the season? Like Richardson was probably the best example of why would you say that about Joe Flacco? Like, if it goes bad, you should put Richardson back in. And guess what, though, Gil? If he sucks and they win the next couple games and they're in the playoff hunt, you shouldn't have any problem with going back to Joe Flacco.
You're very angry about this.
I just think it's silly to announce things that we're going to do this for the remainder of the season, except for in 2 weeks when we change our mind.
It is silly. They're 4-6. They're one game out of a playoff position. They clearly decided, like when Anthony Richardson was playing, they're like, okay, kid is not ready. He's inaccurate. Let's put in Flacco. Flacco was so great last year. You know, Joe Flacco might be able to get us in the playoffs. Well, Joe Flacco has been horrible at football the last couple weeks. So they were probably like, there's no point to this either. Like, if Joe Flacco is going to suck, what are we doing?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's throw the kid back out there and let's see what we have. Now, you're right. There was probably no reason to word it the way they did remainder of the season. But the point remains, that's kind of the smart option at this point. Find out what you have.
Okay, I don't disagree. Okay, that's where I was going to, though. If this is the Colts, and look, we're on the air. I haven't heard what exactly Shane Steichen said. But, like, okay, are you billing this as he gives us the best chance to win right now?
They're not doing that, I don't think.
Okay, because this is a team that's still in the playoff hunt.
If they are, they're lying. Yeah.
That's all I care about. I'm with you. I think they realize that their season's probably over and you just need Richardson to get reps. And if he gets you into the playoffs, great. If not, he's getting the reps that he needs.
Yeah, it feels like an internal decision of, okay, who are we really kidding here? Even if we inched into the playoffs, like, is that big of a deal if we did that? No, it's not. But we're probably unrealistic to think we'll even get there. And the way that Joe Flacco has been playing, as great of, you know, as I won't say as great, but as interesting of a career as he's had, winning a Super Bowl, winning comeback player of the year last year, he has been playing terrible football. Like, it's bad Flacco we've seen. So I get it. We drafted this kid, though. I know he hasn't been good, but let's go for it. Let's see what we got once and for all with him.
So what you're telling me is my Anthony Richardson MVP ticket still has a chance.
I don't believe I said that. Which brings us to our GBank best bets of the day. GBank, the official bank of VSiN, the sports betting network. Once again, I had Steph Curry at 50-1 to win the NBA MVP, and he's at 35-1. Right around now. I still contend that is way too long at 35-1. This is like six dudes in front of him. What? No. The narrative on Curry, if the Warriors are great and Curry is the primary reason for that, the narrative is going to be huge for this award. So I would even argue at 35-1, it's too long. By the way, Nikola Jokic is correctly the short shot once again. And I did bet one of my three from the guessing lines. Remember, the three games I liked on guessing lines were the poo-poo platter of the Cowboys, the Titans, and the Saints. The Saints are the one favorite of that group. They are a one-point favorite against the Cleveland Browns. I don't really understand that line. I still don't understand that line. I don't understand why the Browns are getting the respect to make that less than 3 points. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I think I was looking forward to possibly teasing the Browns, but I won't be doing that at current number, obviously.
No, so I got the Saints, again, not so much a conviction on the New Orleans Saints as a football team, but just that I don't understand why the line is what it is. You, sir.
Yeah, for me, one in the NBA tonight, I did play the Kings. Kings laid 6.5 with them, and then we got still my Pistons group bet. I forgot I didn't erase for today. Sorry, 11-1. I bet that yesterday. That is not current odds. I'm going to guess they are shorter than that right now. Three golf outrights for me this week in Bermuda. Reminder, new Long Shots pod is up now. Check it out. Our last one for the season. We will be back in January when golf returns to Hawaii. Ben Griffin, 20-1 for me. Lucas Glover, 30-1. And Nico Echeverria, 36-1. Out in Bermuda. Jim Root had Louisiana Tech, UMass under 148.5. Illinois laying 23 tonight, and Cal State Fullerton in Colorado under 137. JVT laid 8.5 with the Cavs. And then over in the NFL this weekend, Raiders plus 7.5, Cowboys plus 7.5.
Speaking of poo-poo platters.
Yeah, for real. He already bet him. He's right there with him. Jason Weingarten, Colts plus 3.5. There are fours out there right now. Just a heads up. And Wes Reynolds, Kansas, Georgia, Northwestern, Kansas State, all sides in college football for him this weekend.
Yeah, by the way, as to the question as to whether or not that line moved at all with that news on the Colts, the answer is a resounding...
Actually, yes.
Did it?
The fours I was seeing disappeared.
That's right. It's 3.5 everywhere now.
3.5 everywhere.
Colossal line colossal movement news. Move. Colossal line movement news. But there you go. There, no fours remain. Those are our best bets from GBank, the official bank of VSiN. Once again, always appreciate that we do this. At least we have all the guests that provide so many picks each and every day. Best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. The GBank Visa signature card, your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. I know I did this out of order, Kelly, but I did want to get your just sort of follow up on your golf plays.
Yeah, you're fine. I screwed up. I thought we were like way further up against the shot clock. That's why I just like rushed through all the guests.
Oh, no, not at all. I was like, why is Kelly reading all these? Like in my corner.
I was like, let me get these done quick. We're almost done.
Kelly, no, I usually do this part. Okay, sure. What back up your golf plays though for a second.
Yeah. Over in Bermuda this week. Look, this is going to be a tournament that is, I actually love handicapping this course. It's a great course. The problem is it is more so than any tournament we talk about all year affected by weather and wind because it's an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean that you have to contend with. So really cool course, really fun to watch. You're looking for birdie makers. These guys are going to go low if there isn't too much of the wind to worry about.
Yeah, Bermuda is due east of North Carolina. It is not a Caribbean country.
It's wild. Yeah. You know what I did last night? Just randomly asked Alexa what I hope I set someone's Alexa off. I hate when people do that on TV. I asked, what was the current temperature there? And it was like 70 degrees. I'm like, I don't understand this. Because you're right. It's just east of North Carolina. Like, yeah. I bet you North Carolina is pretty cold right now. But, you know, it's in the middle of the ocean, tropics, whatever. Ben Griffin, he plays well in the wind. So I did bet him T3 here in 2023. And he has played well recently, T24, T22, the last couple weeks. Lucas Glover, by far the best, I don't want to say by far, but the best ball striker in the field for me. Just going to go with his irons. Hopefully he can put a bunch close, make some birdies here. And Nico Echevarria riding the hot hand here. T6 last week, won the Zozo over in Japan. Rates out really highly for me this week, so riding that 36-1.
And someone was asking me on Twitter, hey, have you retired from betting tennis? Like, what's going on? It's the ATP Finals, and it's just a chalk fest. Like, you know, again, I could sit here and say, hey, bet Sinner, bet Alcaraz, bet Sasha Zverev today, but they're all prohibitive favorites, and they are all most likely to get home. But I look at them every day, so when there is something, I will tell you. Stormy is next. Money Moves right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.